First, God uses pain to get our attention. C.S. Lewis wrote, "God whispers to us in our pleasure, but he shouts to us in our pain." Pain is God's megaphone. Pain is saying, "Hello!" We rarely change when we see the light. We change when we feel the heat.
Thanks for tuning in to Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren. You know, a lot of people think that having the good life is looking good and having the goods. But Pastor Rick says trusting in material wealth and health is not enough to overcome that sense of hopelessness so many people feel deep down inside. As we continue with this new series called The Keys to a Blessed Life, you're going to learn how you can have peace and fulfillment in your life, your work, and your relationships. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you how you can get the Life-Giving Study DVD and study kit for this series. You can find out more by going to rickwarren.org or by texting the word DAILY to 313131 while you listen to the message. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with the final part of a message called How God Blesses Broken Hearts.
The first two ways that God blesses a broken heart is he draws us close to himself. He says, "I'm going to be with you. You're not going to go through this on your own." And number two, "I'm going to feel it with you." The pain you feel in that separation, God feels it. The pain you feel in that loneliness, God feels it. The pain you feel in that rejection, God feels it. The pain you feel in that embarrassment, that disgrace, God feels it. He is with you. And he is feeling it with you. Now, there's a third thing that God does in blessing our broken hearts, and that is this: God gives us a church family for support. God never meant for you to go through life on your own. And God says, "I didn't intend for you to go through grief." You know, the old statement that when you share a joy, it's doubled, and when you share a sorrow, it's halved. When you carry it all yourself, you're carrying a load that God never intended for you to have. When something bad happens to you and you say, "I'm not going to tell anybody about this. I'm going to keep it a secret. I'm going to keep it to myself." You have just broken one of the principles of God's word. God says we're meant to grieve in community. Healing comes in groups. Healing comes in the church. Healing comes in community. We're better together. You weren't meant to carry it on your own. Look at this verse, Romans 12, 5, 10, and 15. Three verses in Romans chapter 12. "In Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Be devoted to each other like a loving family. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and mourn with those who mourn." Now, these are commands. And if you call yourself a follower of Christ, they're commanded for you. In Christ, we form one body. That's the church. The church is the family of God, and it's the body of Christ. And the Bible says each member belongs to all the others. Now, I'm not going to ask you to do this, but you could turn to the people on either side and say, "You belong to me." We might have a few marriage proposals, but we belong to each other. We are brothers and sisters in God's family, and we're part of the body of Christ. And then it says we are to be devoted to each other like a loving family. And how are we devoted? We sympathize with each other. When you have a victory, I shouldn't be jealous. I should celebrate your success. And when you have a defeat, I shouldn't gloat over that. I should mourn with those who mourn. Now, I'm not going to go into this because you've heard me talk about it a thousand times, but you need a small group. If you don't have a small group, you have no safety net when the rogue winds come. I would not be standing before you today if it weren't for my small group. My small group, the one I've been in 11 years, walked me through this last year when my son took his life. My small group was there in the darkest days of my life. They were there just being the ministry of presence. They didn't have to say anything. They didn't have to give me any advice. They just showed up. Who are you doing that for? Who knows that you would show up in their crisis? And who has that same kind of commitment to you? You need to get in a small group. And Saddleback has, you know, now 8,000 plus small groups. And we actually have specialized support groups for every kind of crisis you can imagine. You name a crisis that people go through, we've got a support group for it. There is no reason at all for you to go through the pain on your own. It's just your own pride that will keep you from getting involved in the support. The Bible says God gives us a church family for support. We're to rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, comfort each other and give each other strength.
The rest of today's message is coming your way in just a few moments. But first, if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to rickwarren.org and click on his social media links. Oh, and while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the other helpful resources. Again, that's rickwarren.org, or just text the word daily to 313131. That's the word daily to 313131. The second half of today's lesson is coming up.
A lot of people think that having the good life is looking good and having the goods. But Pastor Rick Warren says trusting in material wealth and health is not enough to overcome that sense of hopelessness so many people feel deep down inside. Rick would love to show you how to exchange the so-called good life for the better life through a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. In his DVD and study kit called The Keys to a Blessed Life, he shares the secret to accessing the abundant life God promises in His Word. In perhaps the greatest sermon of His ministry, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives us the keys to the kingdom, a life of wholeness, happiness, and healing. In this six-session video series and study guide, Pastor Rick examines the practical steps found in that historic sermon, steps that will lead you to perfect peace and lasting fulfillment in your life, your work, and your relationships. Once you've been through these sessions, you'll be empowered with the knowledge you need to live the amazing life God has planned for you. Right now, when you support Daily Hope Ministries with a financial gift, we'll send you a copy of this resource, which is perfect for individual or small group study. Visit rickwarren.org today and get your copy of the Keys to a Blessed Life DVD and Workbook Study Kit. That's rickwarren.org. If you've got a smartphone or tablet, you can just text the word DAILY to 313131. That's the word DAILY to 313131. Thanks so much for your support.
Once again, here's Rick.
Let me give you two suggestions for comforting people when they go through any kind of loss, financial loss, physical loss, health loss, loss of a loved one, or anything. Let me just give you two. Write these down. Number one, never minimize another's pain, the pain of others. Never minimize others' pain. Kay was talking the other day, we were in London, and she was speaking, and she said, one of the words you can delete from your vocabulary when you're talking to somebody in pain is the word at least. And she told me about a mother who had lost a child through drowning. And a neighbor came over and in a meaningful attempt to comfort said, well, at least you're young enough to have another child. Are you kidding me? I'm sure that mama said, I'm not wanting another child. I want my child back. I want my child back. Don't tell me, well, at least you've got three other kids. Are you kidding me? Well, at least you've got your... Eliminate the phrase at least from your vocabulary when talking to somebody in pain. It doesn't help. It's not... You're trying to minimize the pain by pointing out something good. Just never minimize the pain of others. And I would say again, parents, stop trying to teach your kids to stuff it. Don't cry now. You know, the typical reaction when somebody's in pain, we try to fix it immediately. Don't be in a hurry to fix anything. You don't need to fix it. God will fix it in due time. What you need to do is just be there and be aware and care. So never minimize. The other thing is never rush people. Never rush people. Pain and grief takes time. And nobody can figure out how long the grief's going to take for any particular thing in your life but you. I can't tell you what's the appropriate time to grieve for anything in your life. You're just going to have to figure that one out yourself. And it's different for everybody else. You know, in marriages, The death of a child is often the predictor of a divorce. In fact, marriages that have the death of a child don't have a pretty good rate of staying together. Kay and I knew that statistic. And when Matthew died, we determined that we were going to let this draw us closer to each other rather than divide us. And it was all because of one thing, showing grace to each other and realizing whatever you're feeling right now is okay. And I don't try to talk Kay out of her feelings, and she doesn't try to talk me out of mine, and we just enter into each other's pain. A feeling is neither right or wrong, it's just a feeling. Let me say that one again. A feeling is never right or wrong, it's just a feeling. So husbands, quit trying to talk your wife out of feelings. And wives, quit trying to talk your husbands out of feelings. Feeling is neither right nor wrong, it's just a feeling. And so you show grace to each other, and you never rush people. Kay wrote a column, or a little post in Facebook a couple weeks ago about how she was starting to feel people kind of rushing her and saying, you know, when are you going to go back to teaching? And, you know, when are you going to be back on the stage? And kind of like, aren't you over it yet? And she stopped trying to push people to get over it. She wrote this little post. Did it hit a nerve? Over 3 million people reposted it. Why? Because that's the way anybody who's in deep pain feels. They understand. Don't tell me to get over it. You don't get over it. You get through it. You get through it. So God gives us a family, and we're not to minimize and we're not to rush the people in our lives. There's a fourth way that God blesses broken hearts. All right? He gives us a church family. He gives us his own presence. He grieves with us. Number four, God uses grief to help us grow. God uses grief. God uses pain, even, to help us grow. And he does it in three ways. Here are three verses that illustrate three different ways. First, God uses pain to get our attention. C.S. Lewis wrote, God whispers to us in our pleasure, but he shouts to us in our pain. Pain is God's megaphone. Pain is saying, hello. We rarely change when we see the light. We change when we feel the heat. Here's what the Bible says, Proverbs 20, verse 30. Sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. That's in today's English version. Anybody agree with that verse? Yeah. Sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. So God uses grief to help us grow by getting our attention. Second way, he brings good out of bad. One of the most famous verses in the Bible is Romans 8, 28. We know, not guess, not hope, we know that in all things, not some, not just the good, in all things, God works. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him. It's an opportunity to grow in character. Every time you go through pain, you can't control the pain you go through. You may have chronic pain, and that pain may be with you for years and years and years. You can't always control that. But you can decide whether it's going to make you bitter or better. Whether it's going to be a stepping stone or it's going to be a stumbling block. God brings good out of bad. And the third thing he does is he prepares us for eternity. Look at this next verse. 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18. These troubles are getting us ready for an eternal glory. What troubles? The pain you're going through right now. These troubles, that sickness, that sadness, that suffering, that lack, that loss, that pain, that pressure, that problem, these troubles are getting us ready for an eternal glory that will make all our troubles seem like nothing. Things that are seen don't last forever. But things that are not seen are eternal. And that's why we keep focused on the things that can't be seen. You've heard me say before, you're not taking your car to heaven. You're not taking your china to heaven. You're not taking your clothes to heaven. You're not taking your career to heaven. But you are taking your character. You're taking you. And so God's more interested in your character development than in your comfort. Why? Because comfort's going to be on for trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions a year in heaven. This is the get ready stage. This is the learning stage. This is the warm-up act. This is the school. It's a preschool. And God says, these troubles are getting us ready for an eternal glory. That's a comfort. You see, studies have shown that the people who were in the concentration camps in World War II, Auschwitz, Buchenwald, Dachau, all these countries, that many died, but some survived. And those that survived found meaning and purpose in their pain. That those who saw no meaning or purpose gave up. You see, you can handle an enormous amount of pain when you can realize there's a good purpose in it, like labor and having a baby. But when you don't see any purpose in the pain, then it's easy to give up. When the pain is unceasing, when the pain never stops, when the pain keeps going, you need to see God's purpose. And what is God doing? First, is he trying to get my attention? Second, is he trying to bring good out of bad? Third, is he preparing my character for heaven? Is he giving me an opportunity to grow in Christ's likeness? Things that are seen don't last forever, but things that are not seen are eternal. Number five, the fifth way that God comforts us when we mourn is that God gives us the hope of heaven. And this one has been particularly beautiful and meaningful to me this last year, that this life is not all there is, that this is just the warm-up act, and that we're living for so much more. The amount of time you're going to spend on earth is really quite small. You're only going to get 80, 90, at the most, maybe 100 years. That's nothing. Nothing. It's going to be over before you realize it. It's nothing compared to millions and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of years in heaven. And the Bible says we have the hope of heaven. If there were no hope of heaven, I would be in despair. Because there's just too much bad in the world. There's too many rapes, too many people getting molested, too many children being abused, too many wars, too many people being tortured, too many people being burned up by chemicals and all kinds of things. But the fact is, the Bible says, 1 Thessalonians 4:13, talking about believers who die, Paul says, we don't want you to be ignorant about believers who've died. We don't want you to grieve like the people who have no hope. Circle the people who have no hope. There's two kinds of grief. You can grieve with hope, or you can grieve without hope. Let me tell you, you want the first one. As a pastor, I have done, I don't know, hundreds and hundreds, and hundreds, I don't know, maybe thousands. I don't know how many funerals that I've done. I don't know how many times I've stood at the bedside of somebody taking their last breath. I have been at the funerals and looked in the faces of people who had no hope when a loved one died. And I've seen the terror on their face and the despair on their face. You see, the test of your faith, the test of your belief system, the test of your worldview is not how you handle the parties of life. The test of your worldview is how you handle the failures and how you handle the funerals and how you handle the deaths of life. That's the acid test. The Bible says we have a hope. And so we grieve, but we grieve with hope. When a Christian dies, why do we grieve? I mean, that Christian is going to heaven. They're going where they're made for. They're going where they're going to spend eternity. And they're going where you're going to go too if you know the Lord. So why do we grieve? We're not grieving them in a funeral. We're grieving us. We miss them. We're not grieving them. And so when a Christian grieves, we grieve in a very, very different way than the rest of the world. We grieve with hope. Non-believers grieve without any hope. And that's disastrous. It's devastating. It's debilitating. It's despairing. What is our hope? Revelation 21 verse 4 says this. God will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things will have passed away. I am looking forward to that day so much. Finally, there's one more thing, and this is a big one. God uses our pain to help others. There's a purpose in your pain. This is called redemptive pain. This is the highest and best use of the pain you go through. God does not want you to waste a hurt. God never wastes a hurt, but we often do because we're not willing to use it to help other people. God does not want you to waste your hurt. This is redemptive hurt. He wants you to redirect your focus. 2 Corinthians 1:4. God comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others with the same comfort we receive from God. Your greatest ministry will come out of your deepest hurt.
That's Pastor Rick Warren, and you're listening to Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with a closing thought, but first, if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to rickwarren.org and click on his social media links. Oh, and while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional. That's rickwarren.org, or just text the word daily to 313131. That's the word daily to 313131. In his DVD and study kit called The Keys to a Blessed Life, Pastor Rick examines the practical steps found in what is perhaps the greatest sermon Jesus ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount. These steps will lead you to perfect peace and lasting fulfillment in your life, your work, and your relationships. Here's Rick.
Have you ever wondered if God has favorites? In other words, are some people more blessed by God just because he likes them more? Well, when we read the Bible, we find that the answer is a resounding no. Instead of a fickle God who only blesses a privileged few, the Bible says that God is actually looking for people that he can bless. The problem is that we live our lives in ways that prevent God's blessing and block God's blessing and hinder God's blessing on our lives. The problem isn't with God. The problem is with us. I've learned a lot about the kind of person that God blesses. For one thing, if you're serious about having God's blessing on your life and God's blessing on your work and God's blessing on your relationships and your finances and everything else, you have to learn to do things differently than the culture around you. In Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, God says this, "My thoughts are completely different from yours, says the Lord, and my ways of thinking are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." Now get this. To be blessed by God in unusual ways, you must think and act in unusual ways. In other words, in ways that are different from how you've been taught. In fact, so many of our problems come from trying to do things our ways instead of God's ways. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, there's a way that seems right to men, but in the end, it leads to death. Our ways lead to dead ends. God's ways lead to blessing and to life. As a pastor, I want God to bless your life. I want God to bless your finances, your relationships, your health. So I want you to know what brings his blessings. I'm really excited to share this new series, The Keys to a Blessed Life, from the words of Jesus. It could change the rest of your life, just as my life was changed when I learned these principles. And may this series bless the rest of your life. Thanks.
Right now, when you support Daily Hope Ministries with a financial gift, we'll send you a copy of this 6-session video series and study guide, The Keys to a Blessed Life, which is perfect for individual or small group study. Request yours today by calling 800-600-5004. That's 1-800-600-5004 today, or just visit www.rickwarren.org. That's rickwarren.org. Thanks in advance for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people around the world. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.